Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 31st day of December, year 2023. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is 2024. Here it comes. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy or separated remnant. These people are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast, Prinhanda, Kumriambit, and Yakida. And no, I probably didn't pronounce it exactly right, but everybody kind of give me a break here, please. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. And on that website, you will find a Daily Mail page where we put information about prepping and health and current events. There's a home page if you feel led to help us out financially, and for the folks that do, thank you so much. It is greatly appreciated. There is a contact us page if you don't have my personal information where you can send me a note via that page and then I will get back to you as soon as possible. And again, we're going to talk about Mr. Richard Buckminster Fuller. You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. Now, the good news is I'm constantly looking at different content creators on the internet and on personal calls, etc. And a lot of people are starting to pick up on this concept. So I don't know how much we played a part in that, but it's kind of funny that shortly after we started praying and talking about it here on the show, all of a sudden, there's a lot of platforms talking about the need for a parallel economy, a parallel society outside of this, what we call normal existing model, which is Jewish controlled from top to bottom, and it is Antichrist. Interestingly enough, Catherine Austin Fitz, a lady that I admire and respect, was the guest on Greg Hunter's show, which is USAWatchdog.com, and they were talking about the good things that are happening. We don't hear about that very often, but she, in her latest Solari report, she put out a whole bunch of things that are happening that we're not being told about, and one of the things, of course, is that there are many states talking about reinstituting their sovereignty and doing exactly what we're talking about, parallel economy, parallel banking outside of Washington, okay? Because Washington's completely traitorous and actually anti-American at this point. Personally, I think every county sheriff should be told by their governors to arrest anybody coming into their county from Washington, whether it be CIA, FBI, NSA, executive, judicial. If they get off a plane and their foot touches the soil in your county, the sheriff and the militia should go up there and put them under arrest and charge them with treason because it would fit, okay? Now, you could throw in extortion, blackmail, pedophilia, murder, all the rest, okay, and they would probably fit as well. But treason's all the one, it's all you need, and almost every one of them is guilty of that. So another interesting concept. I've been praying about that ever since I've been talking to constitutional sheriffs and veterans for many years now. The solution is really fairly easy, and maybe in 2024 we'll see lions amongst our people again instead of sheep, and the constitutional sheriffs and the militia will work together, and the veterans, which I am one, and the different motorcycle clubs that I talk to, many of them are former police and veterans as well, And many of them feel the same exact way we do. So there are good people out there. We just haven't got organized, and we have not decided to take a step in the right direction. But again, 2024 could be the year. Catherine Austin Fitz seems to think that that is a very big possibility. So we'll see. Remember, in Scripture, good things and bad things both are going to be happening at the end of the age. Even in the book of Revelation, it says that as Babylon burns, it doesn't say that you and I are weeping and wailing. It says the enemy is weeping and wailing. The merchants and the bankers and the government people, they're weeping and wailing because their stranglehold on you and I is disappearing. It is burning up. And you and I will be sitting on the banks of rivers and up on the hillsides having champagne and toasting one another with glee as Babylon burns, because our faith is not in the Babylonian system. For those who do have worship and faith in the Babylonian system, you are going to be weeping and wailing as well. Revelation 18:4, and another voice from heaven came to my ears saying, come out of her. Now her is Mystery Babylon, this Babylonian system. Come out of her, my people, so that you may have no part in her sins. Remember, sin is transgression of his law, and in her punishments. They're right around the corner, folks. I know it's not been easy here lately for believers. It has not been easy to watch the criminality, the debauchery of our society, the Antichrist, anti-Yahweh, things that are going on by people, the zombies, normies, whatever term you want to use for them. But trust me, we are to be overcomers, and that's exactly what we're called to be. So take on the mindset of an overcomer, and that's where we have to stay. Keep that vibrational level high. Keep your stress level down. Lots and lots of stuff coming out in the area of health here lately about how detrimental stress is to your health. Okay? Stress, and I've said that on this show many times, stress is probably the number one ailment that you have to deal with in this world today. Number one, because stress brings on all the other ailments, illnesses, and diseases that we typically deal with. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people on whom my name is named, that's us, make themselves humble or low and come to me in prayer, that's talking to the Father, searching for me and turning from their evil ways, then I will give ear from heaven, overlooking their transgressions, some call it sins, and will give life again to their land. That's what we're praying for, because our land, our water, our air is all being attacked and polluted by these monsters, these miscreants, these cretins in shoe leather, not demons from another world, not being invaded by space aliens, being invaded by some spiritual antagonist. It's people who have a spiritual deficiency, okay? The people who have been my adversaries in my life never took the form of some creature or some winged individual or anything else. My adversaries have always been somebody that wore pants or a skirt and shoes, okay? Every adversary I've ever had. So bad things are done by bad people. Nothing made them do it except their choice to do it. Henry David Thoreau, there are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to one who is striking at the root. So Mr. Thoreau is telling us that about 1 out of 1,000 get it. And take a look around you. That's about right. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. In other words, people that tell you lies, turn the world upside down, tell you something is good for you when it's not, such as vaccines or store-bought food, which today, surely, you know to be very careful about what you're buying that's called food. It's been contaminated. Much of it's been contaminated. even in the organic area, you have to still do your due diligence. The Jews have bought up so many companies now that have good brand names that in the beginning, when they were run by decent people, they actually did turn out a good product, but the Jews buy it, keep the name the same, so you think you're getting the same product when they have adulterated the product. And we could go on for hours talking about the different products and companies that have done that sort of thing. I like Sir Walter Scott when he said, without courage, there cannot be truth. Okay, so we talk about truth all the time, but how many people link it to courage? Okay, the enemy are cowards, just like the Jews over in Israel that are murdering those Palestinians. They're cowards. That's all. They're pieces of shit, to be in the vernacular. Cowards, misfits, murderers, rapists. And the world, fortunately, is starting to wake up to that. So again, without courage, there cannot be truth. And without truth, there can be no other virtue. So courage and truth go together. And without those two, you don't have any virtues. Because it takes courage to take a stand in this day for what's right and what's wrong. So always be on guard as to what you put in your mind, through your eyes, your ears, and what you put in your body, your mouth. Okay, liquid or solid, doesn't matter. Be careful what enters your body. It is a temple. The temple what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. And we are to keep it dressed, properly cared for, clean. Do not pollute it with anything. Certainly nothing of this world, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Messiah Christ, Yahshua, he is a new creature. We have a new year coming up, and we should be new creatures. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And again, Catherine Austin Fitz and other content creators are saying and predicting that 2024, and Ella is another one, that 2024 is going to be a turning point. Now remember, even scripture backs this up. The turning point has two directions. Very, very bad for evil, wicked people. Very, very good for the righteous. Okay? And you say, well, how can both things happen? You and I are walking through this world. We are testimonies to the fact Yahweh can have both things happening at the same time. In the life of the believer, are not good things happening? Yes. Yes. Do we go through stress? Of course we do. Change brings stress. Whether it's good change or bad change does not make a difference. Our brother John, who's with us today right here in South Florida, okay, he's going through a significant change in his family today. And our hearts go out to him, and our prayers go out to him. My two of the elders in my family are in hospice as we speak. I'm going to lose two of my uncles probably within the next week. Is that going to be a change? Yeah. Yeah, you better believe it, because now my brother and I have become the elders of both sides of our family, my mother's side and my father's side. And that's an eye-opener there, I'm going to tell you. When you finally reach that point where you're the elder statesman for a clan or a family, a lot of responsibility comes with that, okay? You're being looked up to, so you obviously need to be careful how you speak and the way you act. Because the young folks, part of the reason they're in trouble today is we have not had good leadership amongst our people for a long time. We've been worshiping the beast. We've been chasing after the dollar and the trinkets and materialism for so long, we forgot why we're even here. We have believed for so long that we can't do anything without government approval. They're the last people on earth we need approval from. You see how everything's upside down? They work for us. They need our approval. I don't need their approval to live as a man upon the earth. From the time I was born, I was given the rights that only come from Yahweh God, the inalienable rights. And so were yours. Nobody on this earth has the authority to take your rights away, the right to life, property, okay? And to defend yourself, by the way. So any charlatan, quack, or miscreant trying to disarm you is your mortal enemy. That's the words of Jonathan Locke, L-O-C-K-E, Locke. A brilliant man, actually. Lots of good quotes for Jonathan, but that's one of them. Any man trying to disarm you is your mortal enemy. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares Yahweh, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of people say, well, the world's going to hell. Well, yeah, parts of it are, but not all of it. Where you and I reside, is it going to hell? No, we're still the shining light on the hill, just like our Father, just like Messiah when he walked this earth. His truth is still truth. His wisdom still applies. Those who obey and worship the true Father above, their life is a shining light still, even though this is a very dark world. But just remember, the darker the world, the brighter the light that you are. You become the touchstone or the lighthouse on the in the bay to give a signal to those who are lost, who are in storms on the ocean. This ocean of people that we find here with all its ups and downs and storms, comings and goings, lies and misdirections, misinformation, okay? They're looking for the lighthouse. They're looking for that structure that does not move, the immovable object that is shining a light, which is our Father and his teachings, out to this world to bring them out of darkness, ignorance. Darkness is representative of ignorance. And I've said it many times, you know, I've been studying natural health for decades, quite a few decades now. And when I started, of course, I wanted it for myself and my family, but I also wanted it for my brethren and the rest of my family, my extended family. But I have been amazed throughout the decades of how few people are interested. Utterly amazed. It's identical to the amazement when I try to tell them the truth about what the Bible says, such as the food laws. They have no interest. The average person out there has no interest. It's sad, really sad, because we have things that could help them. But again, if you're the beacon, such as a lighthouse, and they choose to go a different way and crash upon the rocks, is it your fault? Is it my fault? No, it's not. We stand against the storm. We stand to teach and to present truth to these people. It is not our fault if they choose to go a different way. Because as he told the prophets of old, they're not rebelling against you, says Yahweh. They're rebelling against me. Because you and I, like the prophets of old, represent him. So they're rebelling against the Father, the Creator himself. Isaiah 43, starting at 18. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So once again, in our minds, since we think like people, we have a hard time conceiving how can the Father deliver us in this sea of wickedness and evil that we find ourselves. Well, that's because, again, we think like mortals. And so it's very hard for us to even conceive how that is possible. But the good news is, and probably 2024 is going to start to show this, you're going to see the power of the Creator, just as the prophets told us in the latter days would happen. There would be a great churning, a great upheaval in the world around us, in the world of man upon the earth. And in that, we would assume or we would believe that there is no hope for us. That's why Yahweh said, I am going to allow things to get to the point where when I pull my people out of this fire, when I save, soter in the Greek, when I save my people, Jacob Israel, out of this sick and demented world, no mortal man is going to get the glory. No mortal man will take away my glory. The people will know that I am He, says Yahweh. So we keep looking for man-made solutions because we care and we believe that's our job. And it is to an extent. But the salvation of our nation or race is in the hands of our Father, the Creator, because only He has the power to do this. And He wants it that way. Again, so that no mortal man or no mortal group of men can take credit for what He's about to do. It's much like the shape of this world, which is a very controversial topic. And a lot of people say, what difference does it make? Well, because it makes a difference in that if the earth is what we say it is, then you have a very difficult time denouncing our Father. So along that same line of thought is why at this point in time, when He pulls our bacon out of the fire, so to speak, there will be no doubt about Him, His intentions, and His power. No doubt whatsoever. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at 22. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of Yahweh God in true righteousness and holiness. We are new creatures through Yahshua. And so therefore we should put off the old and become new. We should have new renewal of our minds, renewal of our actions. Everything about us should show that He dwells within us, because we've given up ourself to His control. I know in my life, I'll confess, many years I'm somewhat of a control freak. I wanted to control the different aspects of my life, and I lamented that things weren't going right. Why am I having so much difficulty? Why is there so much drama in my life? And then it dawned on me one day that maybe you should turn it over to the Father. Let Him control your life. He knows better. He knows what's good for you, and He knows what's evil. You and I, we're not so good at that. Let's be honest, we're not. I know I'm not. Okay, so giving over control to Him is the wisest thing to do. Lamentations chapter 3, starting at 22. The steadfast love of Yahweh never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Yahweh is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. You know, I was thinking that in my prayers last night. It's at these stressful times is when I realize that unlike people, my Heavenly Father has never let me down. Whereas people, they let you down quite often, actually. even those that you would think wouldn't, and even those who say they think you're the greatest and would never harm you or hurt you, and yet there are many times they do exactly that. But as I laid there and communicated with the Father, I gave him the glory and the honor that as I look back past all those dark days and different trials I went through, the one thing that stuck out was the fact that when I needed help, when I needed encouragement, comforting, many times there was no flesh and body person to do it, but he did. The Holy Spirit encouraged me to go forward and to continue and to fight. And victory was given. Overcomers, folks, especially now, because the enemy is pouring out the propaganda and the misinformation like there's no tomorrow. Remember, they want us afraid. They thrive on our fear, our anger, our disappointment, our lashing out to each against each other, our backbiting and our gossiping. They feed off of that. Conversely, it's like nails coming down across a chalkboard when you smile, show love and concern or compassion, even for some that have maybe offended you. Remember, turn your cheek and forgive 70 times 7. A lot of our people seem to forget that one. Okay, that's right there in the Old Testament. And a lot of people, you know, they misread that. I remember seeing a Jew movie long ago when I was a boy that was making fun of the turn-your-cheek Christians. And Jews were all beside themselves on how neat it was to put one over on these gullible Christians turning their cheek against these wicked, evil people. Well, that's a mistranslation. I am supposed to turn my cheek to my fellow Israelites who are of the faith, but I don't have to turn my cheek to my enemies, and the Jews are at the top of that list. Okay? Nothing in Scripture tells me to turn my cheek to them. I might turn my AR-15 towards them, or a .357 Magnum towards them, or a baseball bat when they try to do harm to me or my family. I'll turn that towards them, but not a cheek. There is no commandment of Yahweh or Yahshua that says to allow people to use you as a doormat, to rape, rob, murder, kidnap you or your family, or to steal your possessions. Nothing in Scripture says that we're supposed to do that. Not when you properly interpret it. And if you read the whole book, instead of just the one or two New Testament verses that the mainstream churches, the whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones tell their congregations. You know, these same pastors, by the way, that sort of vaporized when this whole fake pandemic came along, where were they? Where did they take a stand for truth? Where did they take a stand to tell the government people to pack sand up their ass and get away from me? I'm not closing my doors. Instead, they scurried off like little cowards. Because most of them are part of that secret registry anyway that says, well, as long as you don't hurt me, I'll go along with the government line. So what kind of brave individuals are they? No, they're not. They're cowards. Cowards and fools. Shame on the person that listens to them. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. The love of our Father, which is the primary love. The love of each other, our brethren, which again, our people are not so good at these days, I've noticed. We have the words, as Yeshua said himself, that they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. To them I will say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Do you know people like that in your own life? Do you know people that paid lip service to being a friend or a lover? I know I have. I know I have. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the Elohim God and Father of our Master Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again or from above to a living hope through the resurrection of Messiah from the dead. Have you been resurrected from the dead? Think about this for just a minute now. A lot of these things are metaphors. A lot of these things are idiomatic expressions. All right? So when you were walking around in your ignorance, thinking as a normal, quote, person in this day and age, listening to these lying sacks of manure such as Fauci and Burks, such as the so-called president and the White House, none of them have been on our side. Were you not part of the dead, spiritually dead? Sure you were. Sure you were. Were you called up from the grave? Were you called up from this sea of zombies out here? By what? By an anointing of our Father through the Holy Spirit. That's the only way you can escape that grave, that darkness, the land of the zombies. Okay, many of the old myths from our ancestors and all, that's what those myths were to do, to teach and remind people of these truths, eternal truths. The wisdom of our ancestors, our people sort of turn their back on that, just as many of our family members, they look at us older folks and they go, well, what do they know? Really? You think I've walked this many decades on this earth and I haven't learned a thing or two? And I would share it with you gladly to lighten your load or help prevent you from making the same mistakes. And yet, the youngins, what do we know, right? What do we know? Job chapter 8, verse 7, and though your beginning was small, your latter days will be very great. Jacob, Israel. And you say, well, no, the white race at one time was the predominant race upon the earth. What do you mean, beginning was small? Well, we didn't start out that way on this earth. But by obeying our Father's law, including the laws about the patriarchal family, we very quickly became the most populous race upon this earth. So from small beginnings, we did become a great nation or race of people. But in these latter days, we have gone into an area that's called Jacob's trouble, because Jacob turned his back on his father. Jacob has gone the way of the world. The good news is that Jacob will awaken from this, as Ezekiel chapter 37 and 38 talk about that army of dead and dry bones arising out of that valley and becoming a vast and mighty army. That's the destiny of our people. That vast and mighty army is in formation as we speak. Oh, I know, you don't see it yet, but it's growing by the day. So in the latter days, we will be great again, not because we deserve it, because we don't. Let's face it, we don't, okay? None of us do. We don't deserve it. But our Heavenly Father, through verses like this in Job, has told us that that is his commitment to his sons and daughters. So it's because of his word and his honor we shall see greater things. But it sure as hell isn't because we deserve it, because we don't. Genesis 1, Verse 1, in the beginning, Yahweh God created the heavens and the earth, everything we see in our enclosed world. It was kind of cute when that came up because when I was a boy at the Methodist Church, we used to put on a Christmas play every year. And a bunch of us were given the task of, at a certain point in the evening's events, we were going to get up in front of the congregation and each of us had a verse to recite, and Genesis 1:1 was mine. Didn't seem like much, but boy, I was terrified as a young boy to be in front of all those adults and everybody and worried that I would mess my line, so to speak. But in the beginning, our Father created the heavens and the earth and everything in it and on it. You and me included. Everything on this world is His, and we owe Him the thanks and gratitude for it. Ezekiel 36, verse 26, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Now, for the literalists out there, do you think the Father's going to come down with a great big old carving knife and cut out that heart you've got in your chest? Of course not. Again, idiomatic expressions, euphemisms, etc. Come on, folks. So many people take literal, especially with the English versions. How in the world you can take English translations literally is beyond me. There are so many errors, so many mistakes, so many things should be footnoted, such as the idiomatic expressions, etc. Because English is terrible when it's used to translate ancient Hebrew or Greek. Terrible. Unless you explain it with more information. But just literally take a word such as man or love and try to put English to it without telling about the different versions from the original language, it loses its meaning. Okay? So a heart of stone means ice cold, okay? Of course. Stone, hard. We use that term in English quite a bit. A hardened heart. Stony heart. Not emotional. No empathy. No compassion for your fellow man. Your brothers and sisters. Our people have a hard time with that. I've noticed that. That's one reason why the patriarchal family gets so much resistance, even amongst our own circles. Because we've lost that heart that understands the reason for it. Really, people attack it with such passion. It always bothered me. Why? It's Father's way. You can't see the logic and the love that's behind that commandment, that way of life. You don't see the virtue in it for our people? I don't know. I just never could understand that. Never could I understand that. Revelation 21, verse 5. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also, he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. John the Beloved. Behold, I am making all things new. Yeah, the world we got today is corrupt as hell. Does it need to be renewed? You better believe it. Do our people need to be renewed? Oh, yeah. Big time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart. Yet so that he cannot find out what Yahweh God has done from the beginning to the end. So even though we know this concept of eternity, can you really wrap your head around it? I know I can't. I don't think we were given the ability to do that. something without a beginning or an end. That doesn't work here on this plane that we find ourselves on. Everything here has a beginning and an end. So in the world beyond, there is no such thing. We can't conceive of that. Because again, we were not given the tools to conceive it, and that's why we don't spend any time on it. He does not want us to be thinking about that. That will take care of itself. Just like I've told my family, they say, aren't you worried about dying? Aren't you worried about cancer and all this other? I said, no. Well, why not? Because I don't fear dying. Not really. Now, do I want to stick around for a while to finish my job and the mission I've been put? Yeah, of course I do. Do I want to spend as much time with family and people I love here on this earth? Yeah, of course I do. But I don't fear going home either. Because I know that the creator that put me here, that made this beautiful thing we call a human body, and this beautiful world when we treat it correctly, he has a mission, a plan. He has a purpose for us. And our purpose is not that tiny existence that we have here on this earth. That should be easy for us to understand, I would think. Revelation 21, verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. This realm, as Miss Susanna refers to it, is the death realm. And if you think about it, it's not hard to understand, because life on this earth at the present time anyway, life itself can only exist upon the death of something. Have you ever thought about that? Okay, for you to have that nice steak over at the steakhouse, an animal had to die, did it not? Yeah. Even for that salad that you're having with that steak, those plants didn't jump into that bowl on their own. Somebody had to take a knife and cut them off, pull them out of the ground, wash them, and prepare them. They gave up their life for you to have life. So this is the death realm. And at some point, Father will take away this. There's a purpose for it in this realm that is not necessary in the one to come. Let that sink in, folks. That's why we are called to be joyous and of a positive, upbeat attitude constantly. We're part of that crowd. We get it. We're part of that ongoing presence. And we know that this world is not the only world. This time here is not our only time. Think about that. Matthew 7, verse 7, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Again, Matthew 7, verse 7 is telling us that there's an action required by us. You know, a lot of people say, well, why isn't God, being merciful and blessing me with a bigger house and car and better health? Well, because it says, ask, and then it's given to you. Ask. It requires something of you, a desire, an intelligent thought, a motivation, so to speak. Seek, and you will find. Seeking requires what? Action. Not sitting on your ass in front of a computer or a television set. Seek. Knock. Again, another action. Knock, and it will be open to you. Have you asked the Father? But are you willing to put the action behind the asking? Okay, that's the question. Proverbs 3, starting at 5. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Hallelujah. Do not trust on your own understanding. That's why I say 2024 is shaping up to be a pivotal year. Keep that in mind. And with changes, even good ones, there is the possibility of stress. Do not forget that, folks. Everybody assumes it's only the negative things that create stress. No. Even very good things, but if they are a change to your regular routine, there will be stress. It's like the Father gave me a little indicator. I learned I had it clear back when I was in my 30s and going through a rough time marital-wise. And I noticed one day I was at work and I reached up and grabbed my ear to fix my glasses, and I noticed that my left ear was on fire. The pain was amazing. And I could not figure out why until later on I was thinking about it. It was stress. And the stress manifested itself in my shoulders as well, but particularly, for some reason, in my left ear, not my right ear, but in my left ear. So much so that if I just touched it a little bit, it was obvious. And I noticed today, this morning, as the family was getting ready to leave, that my left ear was hurting. My ulcer was being, how should we say it? It had calmed down. A stomach ulcer I have had calmed down, and yet today it has been bothering me, and now I know why. Because stress brings about ulcers. And when you reduce that stress, they usually heal very quickly. Don't even need any special medicines or nothing else. Just get that stress, the thing that causes it to dissipate. And also, you have to be careful with what you eat and drink for a few days, of course, but the stress is the culprit. And sometimes we're not even aware that we're under stress. I was not aware that I was under that kind of stress until I reached up and touched my ear, and I went, oh boy. So what do? You take preventative measures. You take steps to alleviate the stress. Breathing exercises, meditation, prayer, focus. Just knowing that you're under it sometimes can be enough for you to combat it, and you will notice that it dissipates. But many times we're not even aware that things happening around us, the changes and whatnot, are creating that stress. And that's why we're called to pray to our Father and be in communion with our Father and each other. Don't ever forget that. We're all part of a bigger family, okay? We reach out to one another to help us overcome these kinds of things, okay? Just keep that in mind. Lamentations chapter 3, starting at 22. The steadfast love of Yahweh never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 11, verse 19, and I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone and their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Amen. I think we already read that one. Malachi 4, verse 2, but for you who fear my name, also that means reverence, for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. Healing. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. It's kind of neat that the Father allowed me to grow up on a farm, and my aunt, my uncles, and my grandparents all had farms. So I got to see this verse in reality. When there's a young calf by its mom in the stall, it bounces around like a Mexican jumping bean. Okay? They are bouncing everywhere they go. Romans 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of Yahweh God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. So again, today we're talking about 2024. Here it comes. With that all being said, I'm just trying to let you know that there are indications that 2024, as the prophets told us, the dragon, when he knew his time was short, his wrath was great. The dragon and the dragon people. Yeah, those little people with the little yarmulkes on their head, including the Roman Catholic yarmulkes. Their time is short. The world is waking up to their machinations and nefarious deeds. And retribution, judgment, is right around the corner. There is not a thing they can do about it. Not a thing. And you and I, we can't make it come any sooner, or nor could we stop it if we wanted to. This is Yahweh's plan. It's been his plan from the beginning. Logos. In the beginning was the Logos, the plan. Yeah, there's the spoken word and the written word, but the plan was from the beginning, Logos. And that plan will come to fruition. So we shall see. We're not making a prediction. We're not calling out a day or a month. Not at this point. But there are a lot of forces lining up in this world that sure do make 2024 look to be a very unusual year, shall we say. Something very good for the people who have been overcomers and walk with the Father and treat each other properly, who understand that we are imperfect people. And I sure hope everybody listens to this program understands that. If you're looking for perfection in this world, you're not going to find it. I'm sorry. I don't care if it's your lover, your wife, your kids, your husband, your neighbor, your boss. I don't care who it is. If you're looking for perfection, forget it. You're not going to find it. So, as the scriptures tell us, be careful how you judge someone else. For as you judge them, so shall you be judged. That's the part a lot of people seem to forget. We have a lot of judgmental folks. I think sometimes they don't even realize that they're doing it, but for those of us out there listening or watching and whatnot from the sidelines, it's pretty easy to see what's going on. And hey, I'm guilty of it. I've done it. I've had to have my somebody call me out on the carpet for things said or done, and didn't really realize that I was doing that. And so I'm sure it's happened to you folks as well. But that's why we are to reflect. That's why at night when your head is hitting that pillow and you're going to talk to the Father, you also do some introspection of yourself. Be your own worst critic, okay? That will solve the problem of being overly sensitive to what other people think. Like in my life, other people criticizing me were nothing compared to how I criticized myself. Very, very critical of myself. And a lot of people said, well, you shouldn't be that way. Well, I would rather be overly critical of myself than not critical enough. Okay? And a lot of people, they don't criticize themselves near enough, really. So I'll stick to my plan and be hard on myself, because the rewards for that kind of thinking and behavior are much greater than vice versa. And again, your decision is yours. It's between you and the Father. It's not up to me or anybody else. So as we get ready to go into this year, again, this this broadcast, this program, myself, my ministry, my job, is to fellowship with my brethren, to share what I have learned and know as I learn from my brethren as they share with me what they have been through. And together we can learn line upon line, precept upon precept. We can build a life raft, so to speak, an ark, if you will, that in this storm that is brewing and has been brewing, we can overcome the effects of it just as Noah and his family did. We can float above this sea, this turmoil that we are surrounded by. Float above it. Maybe even some of us may even prosper during this time. Wouldn't that be something? But certainly, we will be given what we need to survive so that we will see the new beginnings, the new heaven and the new earth that the Father has in store. Because I think his patience is just about out for the dragon and those who do the will of the beast. But by the same token, his pride and joy and comfort in his children that get it, his children that stand against the tide, his children that reach out to help those in stress and distress, those in need. The two are happening at the exact same time. Great anger, great wrath against the wicked, as Malachi chapter 4 is very, very clear about. But great joy in those who behave themselves and walk, talk, and act the way he commands us to be. It's a beautiful day here, actually, a little bit on the chilly side in South Florida, but an absolutely gorgeous day, and I did not see a single chemtrail in the sky this morning. Blue skies, beautiful blue skies, and I pray it's beautiful wherever you are, and that you will come away with a sense of belonging today. That in spite of this insanity of this world, you belong to a greater group of people, a greater purpose on this earth, much more important than these zombies and what they think is important. And so keep that with you as you go throughout this day and look forward to the good things that are coming. And reach out and help those that are maybe less fortunate or going through trouble. And again, we reach out to our brother John here and what he's going through. I reach out to my family on both sides as we're going to lose two of our elders in the near future. And as much as we think that, you know, the whole world is, we're having to carry it on our shoulders, we got plenty of brethren who are probably carrying a bigger load than we are. There's a blessing is in the giving. It's in the scripture. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Even though we don't think we have something that others might be able to use, 9 times out of 10, yeah, you do. Even if it's just a kind word or an uplifting message, you would be shocked at how much that does to lift somebody up. I remember, I'll close with this. Years ago, when I was working at a power station in Michigan, and a lot of crazy things were happening in the plant, and they had put some really, really incompetent boobs in charge of our department. And so the younger technicians were bitching and moaning, and I have to admit, I was part of it. I was very upset. And my supervisor, who happened to be younger than me, called me into his office and sat down. He said, Dan, I know why you're upset. He said, I don't like it either. And he said, but just try to calm down and let's just get through this. And so I said, okay, good enough. But as I got up to leave the office, then he said, one more thing, Dan. I said, what's that? He said, whatever you do, don't stop caring. Even though there's times when it causes us to get very vocal about our displeasure at things said or done to us, the act of caring, which is a word that I have a lot more respect for than the word love, because that is so misused. So many people have lost the ability to care. And I would pray that within our family, that we don't lose that quality, ever. Dear Heavenly Father, Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this day, the many, many blessings often that we overlook and take for granted. Just be with us in these latter days as we watch this turmoil and sick, demented world around us, knowing that you have a plan that's being performed right now, and we're part of it. And that you have a very special reward for those who love you, love your plan, love each other, care about each other, and have determined that no matter what's going on around them, that they will walk and talk the way you want us to be every single day of our lives. To that end, we ask that you would walk with us and guide us, Father Yahweh. Be with us and direct our paths. Forgive us our sins and shortcomings as we march towards that glorious day when you will bring on the new heaven and the new earth and all of this death realm disappears. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.